We've Got Tonight in my head, and I'm going to start singing it. Anyway, I don't
know
where
We Got Tonight.
Yeah, that one.
Da, 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 da. I don't even know what the next line is. Who Needs Tomorrow? Is that what it is?
Yep.
I don't even know. Let's make it last.
Let's find a way.
It's a little scary you've got that memorized. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Ryssdal, just hashing over old song lyrics here with Molly Wood. Back to Make Me Smart is where we're going to try to take this conversation, where we do what we can to make today make sense.
The thing I just learned is that Kai Ryssdal can do a not terrible Kenny Rogers impression. I am Molly Wood.
Oh, don't
it's
get
Thursday.
Me started on The Gambler. Maybe tomorrow after I have one too many beer for a podcast, I will start singing The Gambler.
My goodness.
No, I will not. No, I will not. Stop it. Just stop it.
Whatever.
Did you think
Whatever.
I was serious?
I'm messengering.
I have to do a very good gambler, but I'm not doing it tomorrow on this podcast.
Oh, you are. I'm sending you a black leather vest and some bourbon. And literally, I just want you to know, I just filled in a little bit of my hollowed out shell on hollowed out shell.
Well, there you go.
Literally, I was like really kind of bummed out right before this started. And now I'm feeling great. So I will cop to at least a halfway hollowed out shell. Maybe even a little bit more than that. I'm not going to lie. Like it's a rough week for a lot of reasons. I think a lot of us cannot stop thinking about Atlanta and what that shooting means for the state of this country right now and the frank racism that is on display constantly and getting worse every day. And I guess if there is a good thing to take away, it's that the masks are coming off so we can see the hoods underneath. And there won't be much pretending for very much longer. And actually, my two items today are both about the shared responsibility of anti-racism and how it is no longer okay to sort of act like you're a neutral conduit for problematic things. And it came home today in two separate stories, actually. One from yesterday about NBC, which has been under some pressure to deal with basically the Golden Globes situation, that there's been all this controversy about the Golden Globes. And I mean, honestly, I can't believe I didn't know this, but I didn't know this, that there are 87 members of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, which is what gives out the Golden Globes. Everybody makes fun of how, you know, like old and out of touch they are. But it is I was actually astonished to discover that in more than 20 years, the 87 member group has not had a single black member.
Yeah.
Like, you actually have to work to be that exclusive, to be honest, that exclusionary, rather.
That's right. Exclusionary, right?
Yeah. Like, exclusionary, yeah. Anyway, the Golden Globes has been under all this pressure, of course. And NBC, which has carried the Globes for 25 years, and NBC Universal
and pays
can
them
sort
a
of no longer
money.
Dodge
it. I mean, you know,
Right, totally. Yeah. Pays them tons of money. Some have even said, you know, they've said, many have argued that the company shares responsibility because they hold it up and make all pay them a ton of money and make all this ad money back. And so NBC finally had to sort of come out and say, like, yeah, we're putting pressure on the Hollywood Foreign Press Association to clean up its act, which is surprising. And then today goes hand in hand with this story about how the NAACP sent a letter to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell saying, don't negotiate with Fox, essentially. Don't fund Fox's news, what they said, hatred, bigotry, lies, and racism. It said, don't negotiate with Fox because of its opposition to player protests. And I think that it's so interesting that we are starting to acknowledge and behave at a business level, right? As though, rightly, everyone is responsible for this problem. Everyone. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, you just happen to be on Fox if you're the NFL, or you just, you're NBC, and what can you do? You got nothing, no say here other than the bajillions of dollars. So to see the pressure not just come from the people, but from businesses on other businesses, I think is a fascinating trend. And those two stories together really hit me.
That would be meaningful. It would be meaningful.
Yeah.
Follow the money, right? Follow the money.
Follow the money. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Mine is completely different, but it's in a way. Ooh, watch this turn I'm going to make here. In a way, it's related because, just watch. In a way, it's related because it is a path toward healing from the last 4 years. President Biden said today, excuse me, actually his spokesperson, his press secretary, Jen Psaki, said today that President Biden is going to send 4 million doses of vaccines. It's the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is not approved here. 2.5 million to Mexico and 1.5 million to Canada as part of the effort to get globally the virus contained. And look, Biden has been under some real pressure because there are millions of doses sitting there in freezer storage, whatever, that we're not going to use because the FDA hasn't approved it even for emergency use yet. And there's a whole kerfuffle over in Europe about this vaccine because of supposedly some side effects. But I think it's a real step toward reestablishing the United States as a member of the community of nations when, in the face of a pandemic, the president of the United States says, you know what? We're going to send a bunch overseas because we got to vaccinate the whole world. And I think that's a good thing. And excuse me. And I think it's a healing step in more ways than one. Boy, that's two really good turns in like 45 seconds worth of copy right there.
I'm impressed. I'm just impressed. That was worth the wait.
I'm patting myself on the back. You can't see me now, but I am.
I love it. I know.
Anyway,
like,
so that's it. That's
could be so. No, yeah, it's true. You're right.
That's my news item. So, and look, I have no problem, by the way, with the president of the United States saying my job is to protect and vaccinate Americans first. That's fine. But when you got them sitting there and you're not using them, you got to use them.
Yeah.
And so
we no longer have, for all intents and purposes, right? We have a pipeline now that means that there is not going to be an ongoing supply problem in the United States. Who knows when our FDA approval for this would come through, and we have tens of millions of doses stockpiled, not being used. It is genuinely the right thing to do from a global health perspective, because everyone needs to get vaccinated, but also just from a humanitarian perspective, like that's the right thing to do. Yeah.
It's the right thing to do.
It's good. It is both a news item and a make me smile a little bit. Look at that.
Well, I know. Look at me. And it will roll neatly into my make me smile. So Mr. Talladay, if you would. So I think I said the other day that I am not opposed anymore to the use of the Britishism jab for vaccinations. But apparently I used it wrong. I used it as a verb. I said, look, a lot of people are getting jabbed these days, and I think that's really good. And I got via a Twitter direct message, and I will leave this person's name off because I'm going to read you the whole thing and you'll see why. I got a little correction, and here's what this podcast listener said. Going to DMs because it sounds pedantic. British English jab is typically a noun, so it would be 50,000 jabs were administered on Wednesday, or Moderna requires 2 jabs. So to the grammar police out there, I thank you. There you go. Right?
Are you sure that guy's not cruising for a jab in the nose? But yes, that is hilarious.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you. Thanks. You can't see me, but I'm taking a little bow.
We're fairly full of ourselves today, if I might say.
We really are. You know what? We've been working hard. We have been working hard, which is actually a nice turn, into my make me smile, which isn't. We're on fire today. We're en fuego. this is okay. This is not technically a make me smile. It's not like a happy, uplifting story. However, it did just make me feel better to have this sent to me. Salon wrote a piece today about how it is not just you. Everyone is super exhausted right now. And it is not daylight savings time. And you are not being a whiner. That there is legitimate exhaustion sweeping the world right now. Collective exhaustion that has many real reasons behind it. And that there's actually now even a name, which I didn't know, apparently from the American Psychoanalytic Association, Pandemic Trauma and Stress Experience, PTSE, which is essentially a condition of living in this kind of constant state of stress and trauma, particularly, of course, if you have been ill or have lost someone. But also, it goes really hand in hand with that channel fever thing, which is the greatest phrase ever. I've told that to like 5 people.
I know.
The sense that we are close to the end is not making us feel excited. it's making us feel exhausted because we've been in like survival mode, fight or flight. We've been on this adrenaline high. It's kind of like, you know, how you work really hard before you go on vacation and then you go on vacation and you get sick immediately because your body just lets down all its defenses.
Yeah,
that is kind of what is happening to us, except that most of us are not being exposed to germs other than the pandemic because so much stuff is closed.
Yeah.
And so what we're feeling is this just like meltdown thing. I mean, literally Tuesday, for the first time in this entire year, Tuesday was the day that I had to cancel everything in the afternoon and go to bed and take a 2.5 hour nap. I don't think I've done that in years when I didn't have the flu. Like, I just was like, I can't. I cannot. And so I bring this to your attention because I hope it makes you smile to know that, like, you are not alone and the thing that you are feeling is real. It is real. Cancel some stuff and take a nap.
Definitely cancel some stuff. Definitely cancel some stuff. You know? Yeah. There's too much stuff.
There's way too much stuff. And everybody still feels like they have to do it all.
Well, that's exactly right. And because you feel like you have to do it all, your brain doesn't have any room for like the relaxing stuff or the, you know, sideline stuff that gives you your little thrill or, you know, whatever, because you're always doing stuff that you have to do for work or the kids or whatever. Totally right. Cancel some stuff, for sure.
Cancel some stuff. It'll make you smile. It was a roundabout make me smile.
Done. See, there you go. There you go. You got that.
Yeah.
All right. One more thing to do before we get out of here, right?
That's right. And it's an important one. The Million Bazillion Fundraising Challenge. Also, I just can't get enough of saying Million Bazillion is so fun.
So we made the pitch on the pod on Monday. And if you heard that, you know, the Million Bazillion is one of our podcasts here. And it's geared at making kids and the parents who listen with them smart about money. The catch is that season one was a huge success. We sadly don't have enough money to do season two, so we need all y'all's help. $50,000 is what we're trying to raise to match a personal contribution from a listener who chooses to remain unbeknownst to myself and Ms. Wood.
But how cool is that? They give us
$50,000. Very cool.
If we can match it, which is awesome. Apparently, some of you were inspired by our pitch on Monday because it was heartfelt and sincere. You donated. Our fundraising team says we just passed $20,000, which means we are, I'm going to just say, halfway there. We're so close to halfway there. So hopefully with this second pitch, we can hit that 50,000 mark by the end of the week, which would be amazing. Please, please, please help. This show is so wonderful, and kids need to know this stuff. Donate at marketplace.org/givemillion. Give million.
It's end of next week, right? Because the end of the week.
End of next week. Yes, thanks. Good catch. Okay. No. End of next week. You're right. Okay. I don't know. Right. Time runs together. End of next week. So you do still have time. Keep it coming. I don't know. I trust our audience. We could get there by tomorrow.
Yeah, they'd figure it out. Marketplace.org/givemillion is the URL one more time. We'd appreciate it.
That is it for us. We will be back tomorrow. I was at the store and I saw Elysian Space Dust and I almost bought it, but then I was like, oh, I'll have six. If I don't like it, I don't know what to do.
You would hate it.
I probably would. Yeah. It's tempting though. Brand recognition turns out. Anyway, I say that because tomorrow is Friday and we'll be back for Economics on Tap, the YouTube live stream, Kai's karaoke of the gambler. That's all happening for sure at 3:30 p.m. Pacific. 6:30 p.m. Eastern.
I do Johnny Cash pretty well, too.
Oh, that's
See
good.
That train coming around the bend. Anyway, go ahead. We're going to get out of here. Ben, hit that.
Don't stop it.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. It would have been great if you'd come up with Johnny Cash on that instead of the actual music. Anyway, Marissa Cabrera is in charge. Tony Wagner does digital stuff for us, also analog as well. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters. Also, the Make Me Smart skill on your smart devices.
Smarted devices. My go-to is Cher for karaoke, as you might imagine. Today's program was engineered by Ben Holliday, who has seen us through this long Ben Holliday in so many ways. He composed our theme music along with Daniel Ramirez. Our senior producer is Donna Tam, who's awesome. The executive director of On Demand is Tara Nieves, who is awesome.
Most of the time. Those are all awesome.
Most of the time. Not on Tuesdays. Just kidding. It's just great all day.
Sorry, today's Tuesday. Can't be awesome.
Sorry, not awesome today.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.